If you'll find your way back to your seat, have your Bible, you want to grab that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 today. Thank you, Zachary. We're continuing our Christmas movies renamed kind of theme today, this morning. We'll finish that out next Sunday, but I mentioned this last week, but you know, everybody has their favorite Christmas movies that you watch, right? In our house, it's become a tradition. We like to get together with the kids on Christmas Eve and we watch the movie Elf, you know, with Will Ferrell, and just watch that. That's what we love to do. You may have a different favorite Christmas movie, or maybe you have another tradition that you do, but as I was preparing for the Christmas season, just kind of thinking about what am I going to preach about, just felt led to kind of have this crazy idea to take some Christmas movies and just kind of rearrange them a little bit and give them a new title. Last week we took Miracle on 34th Street and we called it Miracle on Nazareth Street. Today is probably one of the, probably more popular Christmas movies is Home Alone, right? Right, you know, this story of a young 8-year-old kid boy named Kevin McAllister, who gets left behind when his family goes to Paris for a Christmas vacation. It always made me mad. Like, how could they not remember that? You know, but they do. I think I told you the story about how I almost left my daughter in the stroller at an amusement park. So I understand that a little bit. But Kevin, you know, he wakes up and he thinks that he has whisked his family away for just a little bit. He thinks, oh no, his family's annoying to him, always picking on him. He wakes up a couple days before Christmas and thinks that he has wished his family away. And so he's enjoying his newfound freedom in his home all by himself. And then it gets serious, though. The plot changes. Then he realizes he has to defend his house from these burglars, from these two thieves, petty thieves, Harry and Marv. And he has to use his creativity to set all these booby traps up and protect his own home, right? Well, and so if you're familiar with Home Alone, I took that Christmas story, and when you look at the biblical Christmas story, it's anything but Home Alone, right? So I titled the message this morning, Not Home or Alone, because if you know the story, Joseph and Mary have to leave Nazareth because of the census, and they go to Bethlehem, travel while she's pregnant to go register for the census. And then while she's there giving birth, you know, and I tried to find, I was like, somebody has gotten to have done this before, but while she's giving birth, she gets visited by a bunch of shepherds, so she's not alone, you know. And I thought, somebody's got to be creative. So this gives you young people an idea. Create it, you know. You've got the delivery room, somebody's giving birth, and you just have some shepherds show up in there. Hey, what's going on? You know, somebody's got to do a funny picture or something like that. But so when I think about the biblical story, it is definitely not home alone and not alone. So we're going to look at that this morning. That's all you're going to hear about Home Alone. We're going to get into the biblical text this morning. The Christmas story is really anything but ordinary, right? I mean, all those crazy events that happen, the virgin birth, angels appearing, telling shepherds to go see this. But at the same time, church, the Christmas story is full of ordinary people, right? That Mary and Joseph were not nobility, they weren't royalty, they weren't well-to-do people that we know about. The shepherds that showed up, we'll talk about that in detail in just a minute, who were shepherds and how were they thought of. But the Christmas story is not ordinary by any means, but God used these ordinary people to accomplish the Christmas that we celebrate today. And that's what I really want to bring home to all of us today, is that Christmas is for the ordinary people here. For you and I, that you may consider yourself, well, I'm just an ordinary person, you know. I'm an ordinary member at such and such church. I'm an ordinary employee at my job. I'm an employee, you know, I'm an ordinary person at my school. I'm relatively unknown. But I just want to encourage this morning, whether you're an adult or a teenager or a member at Westside here, God wants to use you as an ordinary person. We're going to see that from the scripture this morning. So let's talk about the shepherds here for just a minute. We're going to get into the text in Luke chapter 2, but what do we know about shepherds? Well, the Bible talks a lot about shepherds, right? We know that the very first murder that occurred, Abel was a shepherd. The Bible says there in Genesis chapter 4 that he had flocks, and so he was a shepherd. We know about him. Abraham was a shepherd. He had sheep and all his sons, Esau and Jacob and all those, the family there. One of Israel's greatest leaders was David, right? And he was a shepherd. He was out in the fields when Samuel came to anoint the next king, and he's like, you got somebody else? Well, there's the youngest son. He's out in the pasture. He's just a shepherd, right? And so you begin to see that there's a lot in the Bible about shepherds, but the shepherd was not a very well-known or well-to-do kind of occupation in the biblical times. We know that the Egyptians, they had a very strong disdain for the Israelites when they came to Egypt. They were even told, you need to live over here because you're shepherds, and we kind of despise those kind of people. So they kind of set up their own place to live. But there's some other things that we know about shepherds from some of the Jewish writings. Shepherds were not viewed very kindly. They were often known to be dishonest, and that you couldn't trust them. They were not allowed to be witnesses in a court of law because of that. Yeah, because, man, these people, you know, who are they? You know, they were also forgiven. It was forbidden by Jewish law to give charity to shepherds, probably because, well, they're seen as kind of, you know, maybe dishonest people. Maybe they were going to take it and do something with it, perhaps. So there were several laws that we know from the Jewish Talmud that you could not allow shepherds to you know, to be witness in court or to be charitable. So pretty interesting. But I find it very interesting, but that's who God chose to be a part of the Christmas story, right? Out of all the people that the Lord could have appeared to and the angels come down and sing, oh, you know, God chose the shepherds, right? And so we're going to look at the shepherds this morning. And here's the thing, church. What the world seems to disdain often in our culture and in biblical culture, God seems to honor. God seems to distinguish and to use for his will. We're gonna look at that this morning. We know even that Jesus himself, he called himself in John chapter 10. He says, I am the good shepherd. He's identifying with the people here. So as we look at the text this morning, if you have your Bible, you want to stand as I read in honor of God's word. I'm going to start reading in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened and which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, and they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Thank you. You can have a seat. I want to share three things with you from this passage, specifically from verses 8 through 20 there, about these shepherds, about ordinary shepherds and ordinary people, hopefully that you can relate to and that you'll connect to today and be able to understand what our mandate is as modern-day, quote-unquote, biblical or shepherds, perhaps. So let's see that this morning. First off, on your outline there, if you're following along, there's an outline on the back of your bulletin. But the first thing we see is the revelation to the shepherds. The revelation to the shepherds. A revelation is what has been pronounced there. Back in 2013, probably one of the most anticipated births occurred. Does anybody have a guess who it might be? 2013, who was one of the most anticipated births that we might look forward to? I'll give you a hint. It's across the pond. All right, so we know that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were married, and they had their first child in 2013, right? This was the biggest to-do ever, all right? It is the first child of the royal family there that had been born since Prince Diana had died. So this was kind of a big thing. I have some pictures there. Did those pictures make it in the video? All right, here. This is a picture outside the hospital when they come out there, and it's been the tradition that they show the baby off, right? You can see the number of masses of people that line the street. Go ahead, go to the next one there. You have people hanging out of windows just to get a glimpse of this baby that had just been born, you know, and there that one's got an interesting, you can see all the way down the street, so many hundreds and hundreds of people just outside the hospital. This doesn't even include the number of people that lined up around Buckingham Palace that just wanted to get a glimpse. And you know, you can go on the internet and you can Google that. You can see all the crazy hoopla and all the you know, just the attention that was brought to this brand new baby. Well, that's definitely not what happened at the first Christmas, right? I mean, this is anything but that. For real, God chose to announce the Savior's birth on a very low key kind of method, and not, you didn't get all the pomp and circumstance of a new prince being born, but we hear in the text here that God chose to reveal this to a group of shepherds. In the scripture says, and we'll look at this in just a minute, it says they were living out in the fields nearby. Let that sink in. Shepherds, you know, in our day, in our culture now, we work in a place, some of us work from home now thanks to COVID and other things, but a lot of times we leave the house, we go to an office, and we come back to the house, right? Shepherds lived out in the field with the sheep. They didn't come and go like we might think in our day, in our culture, in our age today. So that again, kind of just let that sink into you. And what kind of people were these people that God chose to reveal his message to? They were living out in the fields nearby. And then I want you to look at the message that the angel told these shepherds here. Look at in verse 10 and 11. First thing I want you to see, it says that this message was not just for the shepherds. The scripture says it will be for all the people, right? All the people. And That's what we need to recognize too. Jesus is not just for a select few group of people, church. Jesus is for all the people. It's all the world. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The Christmas message is not just for Westside Baptist Church. The Christmas message is not just for all those Southern Baptist churches in the state of Georgia. The Christmas message is not just for those in the United States. The Christmas message that Jesus came to bring salvation is for the entire world. And we need to remember that. For those of us who God has revealed his message to us, and for whatever reason, we've gotten it, praise the Lord. We've received the message that God has given us, and we have accepted it. We need to remember that it's not just for us. We have a responsibility to share it with other people. We have a responsibility to share it with our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates, people around the world. And the second thing I want you to see here in verse 11, he says that today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. I want to emphasize that. The scripture says a Savior's been born to you. It's not a political leader. It's not a moral reformer. It's not a social justice warrior. But a Savior has been born. God knew what we needed, and he gave us exactly what we needed. Jesus wasn't born, and he didn't grow up and become a political leader to reform the Roman government. Jesus didn't come in to do miracles and change people and make people more loving and be a moral reformer. He came, the scripture says, to be our Savior. We are a people that need saving. And so he sent us exactly what we needed. We needed a Savior. Do we see ourselves as modern-day shepherds, church? Do we see our role at little old Westside Baptist Church as just an ordinary church? Or do we look at it like, you know what? God has chosen to give me, and God has chosen to give you the message of his salvation, and what can I do? He has revealed it to me. He's revealed it to you. What can I do to share that message with the world and that they have a Savior and they need him in their life? And I don't know how you think or what you might look of yourself, but hopefully you consider yourself maybe just that ordinary average shepherd that God has chosen and he has revealed to you for whatever reason. Maybe that was because your parents brought you up in church. Maybe because a friend invited you to church. But for whatever reason, one way or the other, you got that message. Are you going to bear that message and share it with the world? That's the question I want you to ponder this morning. Secondly, on your outline, not only did God reveal Jesus to the shepherds, but we see the reaction of the shepherds here, the reaction of the shepherds. We see this in verses 15 and 16. After the angel comes and tells them about Jesus, the other angels come in and this huge amount of people praising God. We get the reaction. Look at verse 15. It says, when the angels left them and had gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go into Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go. Were they curious? I don't know. Hey, were you guys, did y'all just see that too? I don't know. Maybe I had to drink a little too much. I'm not sure what I saw. Were they skeptical? Were they like, I don't know if that's really true or not. Maybe we should go check it out and find out, you know? But it doesn't matter whether they were curious and really wanted to know or whether they were skeptical. We know what they did. They went. And the scripture says they hurried off in verse 16, right? They didn't waste any time. They went to examine what was told to them. They didn't. There was a sense of urgency, church. Do you and I have that same sense of urgency in our lives? Like the shepherds, God has, whatever reason, he has revealed his plan of salvation to us, and we understand that Jesus can save people, and it's for the message is for the whole world, but But also, church, do we have a sense of urgency on us? I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with that. I can think of many people in my life and in my past that I thought, you know what, I'll have that conversation with my neighbor, with him next week, and I put it off. But we're not guaranteed next week or the next hour. We need to have, church, we need to have a sense of urgency when it comes to sharing the gospel with people. We don't know how long we will interact with that person. Somebody could pick up and move on a dime, and that might be the last time we see them. Maybe it's not a time factor. Maybe it's a factor of maybe we're too busy. Maybe we're too preoccupied with our own lives and our own situations that sometimes we don't. I want to share. I want to invite them to church, but maybe we get distracted. Are there things in our life that distract us, that keep us from sharing the gospel and the urgency that we need to have? And so my question to you, my second question to you this morning is where does that sense of urgency come from? And if you don't have a sense of urgency, that is something that you and I can pray about and say, Lord, give me a burden. Give me a passion for my neighbor. Give me a passion for my family member. Give me a passion for my friend at school that I don't delay, that I don't put it off. If God gives you and I an opportunity to open up and to share the good news of Jesus with somebody, take that opportunity. It is harder and harder today because of our culture in which we live to have those opportunities. And so when we get those opportunities to share with people, if we say, you know what, I'm not really feeling good, I'll talk to that person next week, maybe when I'm in a little bit better mood or when I don't have so much on my plate or whatever. But there should be a sense of urgency in all of us that we need to share the message that God has given and chosen to reveal to us, that we would share. These shepherds sought after this baby Jesus. Whether they believed it or not, whether they were curious, they did the homework. And I just want to ask you this morning, have you done your homework? Have you sought after the baby Jesus? Have you sought after a Savior? Is that you? If not, hopefully you'll have the opportunity in just a minute. And thirdly, not only did God reveal it to the shepherds and we see their reaction, but finally we see the shepherds rejoiced. We see the rejoicing of the shepherds here in the last part of this in verses 17 through 20. After they saw and went and saw the baby and saw that, just as the scripture says, well, everything was just as they were told, we see their reaction, the rejoicing. Look at verse 17. It says that when they had seen him, they spread the word. What word? Well, it says the message was about Jesus. It was what had been told them about this child. So not only did the shepherds say, well, hey, we saw this this lady gave birth in a stable or this whatever it might have been, right? We saw this, but not only did they explain what they saw, but they also explained, according to the scripture, what had been told them about this child. It wasn't just that we saw this event. It was like this angel told us that this baby was going to be something special. So they went into the explanation of it, you know, it says, which was just as they had been told there in verse 20. They explained it to other people, and it says they rejoiced, they praised God. And I just want to ask you this morning, do we take some time to worship and rejoice over the message that God has given us this morning? Do we slow down a little bit, just enough, not only at Christmas time, church, but all throughout the year? Do we take some time to slow down and to thank God for being God? Thank him for sending Jesus to be our Savior. And to worship and to rejoice just like these shepherds did. to celebrate the God's plan of salvation, right? That's the most important thing. I want to kind of go back and review again. Remember, shepherding's all throughout the Bible. We see this all throughout the Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. Well, there's some great passages in the New Testament I want to make you aware of. The first one is in Hebrews 13, verse 20. The author there calls Jesus the great shepherd. First Peter refers to Jesus as the chief shepherd. And then finally John chapter 10, I mentioned this earlier, but Jesus called himself, he says, I am the good shepherd, right? So all these passages that talk about Christ in the comparison to a shepherd, it's interesting to me that he would reveal this message of his birth to some shepherds. I think there's something to it. But to me, the probably the most well-known passage in the Bible that talks about shepherd is, do you see it right there on the screen behind me, right? Is Psalm 23, right? And that psalm, even though it's in the Old Testament, is very personable. There's a lot of the pronouns in Psalm 23 that really make it personal. The scripture there says that the Lord is my shepherd, right? He's my shepherd. We can look at the Bible, we can read the Bible, and he can be the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. But the most important thing, church, is Jesus Christ, is he your shepherd? Is he your personal shepherd? That is the most important thing. What other people may call him here or there is at this point, but before you walk out of the sanctuary this morning, I want to challenge you and ask you this simple question. Have you come to a place in your life where you have yielded and bent the knee and humbled yourself and allowed the Lord to become your shepherd? And if you've not done that, I want to invite you into an opportunity this morning to ask the Lord to come into your life, to be your Savior, your Lord, but most importantly, your shepherd. You know, the shepherd has a lot of different jobs and responsibilities, right? The shepherd protect, the shepherd feed. Sometimes the shepherd pull you out of a ditch that you jumped yourself into. sometimes the shepherd needs to shear the sheep when we get a little too weighty, and we gotta cut some stuff out of our lives, right? But the shepherd has a lot of different responsibilities. But have you come to that place where you have allowed the shepherd to be your shepherd in your life? And if you've not done that, I want to give you the opportunity this morning that you, by a choice of your own will, you can ask Christ to come into your life to be your Lord and Savior and to help you and to shepherd you in your life from today moving forward. And we like to use this these 4 points, and we explain that. That number one, you're not an accident. You know, you may be sitting here today and you have no idea why you're sitting in the sanctuary this morning. Well, I'm here because my parents made me come. I'm here because this is just what I do every Sunday. You may be sitting here in the pew and you have no idea what your purpose is in life. I want to tell you that God has a purpose for your life. And you're not an accident. The Bible says that you were created by God on purpose. But we are apart from God. The Bible says that we're separated from God because of our sins. The Bible says that for all have sinned. You know, I love interacting with people on this idea of sin. It's not popular to talk about sin, right? We don't like to people that we're sinners, right? But you look at the world and everything is, well, something's wrong. Something's wrong with the world. You know, whether you want to acknowledge it as sin or not, right? But you might ask people, you know, hey, what do you think is wrong with the world? Well, I think it's capitalism. I think it's this. I think it's that, whatever it is. I think it's racism. I think whatever. But the root of all that is something the Bible calls sin. The Bible says that sin separates us from God and that all of us have sin in our life that separate us from God. The Bible teaches that sin, there's consequences for our sin. It says, for the wages, the paycheck, so to speak, the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But the good news, church, is this, that God knew that we were separated because of our sins, and he provided a way for us to reunite in a relationship with him. And that's the third point, is that, that God approached us through Jesus Christ. God approached you through Jesus Christ. God knew that there was sin that separated, so he sent his son, which we celebrate at Christmas time, born of a baby, but Jesus grew up. He taught a lot of people. He did a lot of miraculous things, but his main goal was to die on the cross for your sins and my sins. Jesus paid the price. He did what we could not do. And the Bible teaches that we can accept Jesus by faith. Ephesians says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And if you understand that, you're here this morning, why would you not choose to trust Christ today? If you've never trusted Christ, I want to plead with you this morning, let this Christmas be the first Christmas that will change your life. God will come into your life on invitation only when you ask him and you're 100% legit and real. If you invite him into your life, he will come in and he will begin to change you from the inside out. He will help you. Doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect life. Doesn't mean all your problems will go away. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, if I'm real honest with you, it's probably going to get worse because you've made a decision to follow Christ, and the devil's not going to like that. He's not going to stand by and sit by idly and watch us trust Christ. But it's the best decision that you and I can make, that we trust Christ. Amen? So if you understand that, if you're ready to do that this morning, I want to help you with that. And I'm just going to ask everybody to bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. If you're here this morning and you want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you want to invite him into your life, would you say a prayer to God, something like this? Say, "Dear God, I know that you love me. I believe that you sent Jesus to die. I believe that he died on the cross, rose from the dead, victoriously over sin and death. Today, God, I'm coming to you. I want to surrender my life to you. I'm placing my faith and trust in you. I want to turn from living for myself. I want to live in an obedient life to you. Come into my life and give me eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen." In a minute, we're going to have our invitation. We'll go ahead and ask our worship team to come back down and get ready to sing a song. If you prayed that prayer today, maybe a month ago, and you asked Christ to come into your life, would you have the courage to come out here and just shake my hand or just tell me, "Hey, Pastor John, I prayed that prayer"? We just want to rejoice with you. You're not going to have to make a speech or anything like that. I just want to pray for you and help you in your next steps as a new Christian, as a new follower of Christ. We just want to help you with that. Christians, for some of you, you've already made that decision. You have trusted Christ a number of years ago, perhaps. Or maybe it was a few months ago. Some questions there you see on the screen behind me there is simply this. How do you view yourself? Do you see yourself as an ordinary average shepherd? Do you see that Jesus is for everybody, and that's our responsibility, is to share, to spread the news as the shepherds did? Or what about that sense of urgency, church? Have we lost that sense of urgency, thinking we have more time, and maybe we do, maybe we don't? And what about the joy that the shepherds experienced there? Have we lost that joy of God's salvation plan in our lives? Let's get back on that. Let's pray and say, "God, restore that joy in my life so that I can express it and share it with other people." In the narrative here, the shepherds went back to work, right? They went and saw Jesus and Mary and Joseph there, but the scripture says they went back. And church, that's our responsibility too. We can't just stay huddled up here in church 24/7, right? We have responsibilities outside of this building, but here's the cool part: is whether we're working or retired, whether we're teachers or nurses or We work at McDonald's. God has given us a mandate to express and to share the joy that we have with other people. And I just want to encourage you this morning, let's think of ourselves as modern day shepherds that have been given that revelation, and we have the opportunity to share that with as many people as we can that we can come in contact with. Let me pray for you this morning, and then we'll have our last song. Lord, I just come to you this morning, and Lord, I pray that you'll take this message. Lord, I have no idea why you chose to give me this message this morning, but Lord, I pray that it sticks with someone this morning, or people that would maybe consider themselves just an ordinary person in this culture in which we live. But Lord, help us to realize that you love to use ordinary people. Ordinary people like shepherds, ordinary people like Mary and Joseph, to accomplish what you desire to accomplish, God. Lord, help us to know our responsibility and to see what we must do as people who carry the best news that's ever been shared, is that Jesus came to be a Savior for us. Thank you, God, for this time. And Lord, I just pray that whatever you move on people's heart, I pray that they'll step out and step forward and make a decision, that they will perhaps take some time to talk with you today, Lord, and to see how you want to change their life. And Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand as we sing this last song together.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
Not with just what we do, but what we say, how we speak, our attitude, Lord, that every part of our life we would seek to honor you, because you, God, are worthy of honor. You are worthy of glory and worthy of praise. Lord, thank you for this time that we could spend a little bit looking at your word. Thank you for the example of the shepherds and how just an ordinary shepherd, somebody who is disdained by many people in the world, Lord, that they were chosen by you, God, to share the greatest message, the greatest story ever told. Lord, may we take that to heart. May we be shepherds of Snellville, and may we continue to share in Snellville, Loganville, and Grayson, and everywhere that we go, Lord, that you are the Savior of the world. Lord, now as we come, we give our tithes. Lord, I pray that you'll take the gifts that are given this morning, use it for your glory, your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for providing for our church. Thank you for God's faithful people here at Westside. Lord, we pray that you'll take every penny that's given, you'll bless it and use it continually, not only this year, but in next year as we look forward to 2025. Lord, we love you and just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can have a seat as the offering plate's being passed. Again, Christmas Eve service Tuesday night, 5 o'clock. Obviously, no Wednesday night activities for the next 2 weeks because of Christmas and New Year's Day. So keep that in mind. The office will be closed several days during the holidays, so just see the details there in the bulletin. If you need us, please, I think if you have our cell phones, you can call, reach out to us, all that. All right, well, God bless you guys. There's nothing tonight. Our Sunday evening Bible study will kick back up in January, but we're taking the next couple Sundays off. So, all right, hope you guys have a great, great afternoon, and God bless you guys. We love you, and we'll see you again next Sunday or Christmas Eve night.